to understand that non-existence. You have to become really selfless and all of that. Then he said, let me tell you, do you remember Ayaz I was talking about? The example of the real lover, is it? That Ayaz needed that old stuff that he had to remind him that he was nothing. Everything is given to him. That kind of non-existence I'm talking about. He has a lot of stuff, right? He loves that stuff to remind him that these all are given to you. I've seen a very funny, I've been in a funny situation here when we are talking about this stuff. I have seen a lot of people who are really surprised when I say, I have all my knowledge from we. Okay, I have a couple of PhDs, means what? Means a couple of institutions with a lot of teachers, they taught me this stuff. That's what it is. So, it's not mine. It's given to me. Why? To give to the other. That's all. This is the role we play. He mentions Ayaz for that, yes?
Even though he was beloved by the king and was charming and beauteous outwardly and inwardly, he had become devoid of any arrogance or ostentation or malice, and his face was a mirror for the beauty of the king. Because he was far removed from his existence, the end of his affair was praiseworthy.
Yeah. Translation. It's impossible. Because there's a point over there which is really interesting. He says, when he kept some distance from his existence, he's explaining these Ayaz lover, right? He says, when he got away from his existence, then the final, the end, the resolution of his activities became Mahmud, which means appreciated, yes. But you know, remember Mahmud. Mahmud is the name of the king that he loves. Everything for him is Mahmud. So even his deeds become Mahmud. Yes.
The steadfastness of Ayaz was too firm for him to take precautions in fear of arrogance.
He was careful not to pass the limit, because normally when you are treated well, what do? You become arrogant. He was worried about the arrogance of being in the presence of the king. Yes.
He had been purified, and he had come and smitten the neck of arrogance and selfishness.
Yeah, this is something that you should always remember. Always. In your entire life. Do you understand? Yes, he became enlightened. Muhazzab means being in the path. How? Eliminating two stuff from his ego. The ego, the self, and arrogance. Means these two. Why they are here in me? The arrogance. Why am I arrogant? Because the stuff that I have, which is given to me, which could be taken from me, and the ego, the self. What self? Because now I understand really understand what selflessness means. The stuff that I learned from Nelson Mandela, that stuff here? Yes.
He was practicing these devices either for the purpose of instruction, either for the purpose of instructing or for the sake of some principle of wisdom far removed from fear. Or the sight of his rustic tune pleased him because existence is a shutter against the breeze of not being.
Here again is playing with the language a lot. The word has teased, nisteased, east, all of that, because he's talking about non-existence, not being, and all of that. How could he talk poetically and romantically? Yes, but it's not enough. There are some illusions here, because he wants to explain it all. He doesn't want to owe you some more explanation here. Plain, he's talking about non-existence. It's this non-existence that I'm talking about comes from that sickness we talked about, love. Let me bring that lover here to explain to you what is non-existence. That lover doesn't want the arrogance, doesn't want the ego, doesn't want the self-importance. Why? Because he loves. When you're in love, you cannot have the ego. Because what is love? What is love? Think about it. Could you explain it? Romantically, you could talk about it, but you cannot explain it. What is love? Love, at the end of the day, everyone, when you want to think about love, deep down you think about how I love myself. Because if you're honest, that's the only subject of your attention and admiration and all of that, right? But we told you that is not love. Love is selflessness. You should do what? Right from the beginning, there is this. Do you remember I draw it a circle on the board? This is a living stuff or non-living stuff. There is that limit which will separate every single fellow from the rest of the existence. That's self, right? What is selflessness? It doesn't exist in those animals. Yes, it does. Does it? Yeah. Because when they have pity towards their children, what are they doing? Suddenly become selfless. Not because really selfless, because that's myself, that's mine, it's a part of me. But they try to. We have the realization. We know what the passion is. We know selflessness. We admire it. When we see it like Mahatma Gandhi, we admire that selflessness. Why? This one doesn't like it. We criticize it. Here, the admiration exists. It is given to me. That passion is a gift. I wish to have that gift. And I know they I will be given that gift if I'm selfless. That's why I'm trying to reduce myself. Yes?
Or the sight of his rustic shoon pleased him, because existence is a shutter against the breeze of not being. In order that the charnel house, which is built on not being, might open, and that he might feel the breeze of vitality and life. The wealth and riches and silks of this traveller's halt are a chain on the light-footed spirit.
Translation. Very simple. Is that having, being rich, and having the best dressing stuff, or whatever of this stuff, in this period that I'm talking, is just a chain to your soul. These will enchain your soul. Yes.
The spirit has spied the golden chain. And
that's why you like it, because the chain is golden. Yeah, it's beautiful. Having power and having money and all of that. These are the golden chains on the neck of your soul. Now what? Yes.
The spirit espied the golden chain and was beguiled. It remained in the hole of a dungeon, far from the open country. Its appearance is paradise. In reality, it is a hell. It is a viper full of venom, though its figure is of rose-cheeked beauty.
Yeah. That having, being in power and having everything and all of that looks like a fantastic stuff, but in reality, that is the problem. Yes?
Although hellfire does no injury to the true believer, yet it is still better to pass on from that place. Although hell keeps its torment far from him, yet in any case, paradise is better for him. O ye deficient, beware of this rose-cheeked one who at the time of intercourse becomes a hell.
Okay, this is one other difficulty with the Persian language. You know, Persian language has no grammar system, and you could play with it and do the magical stuff. Rumi uses those stuff for the passion that he has, which is here. In the last verse, he will say, the rose-cheeked. Rose-cheeked is not that beautiful. When you say gulroch in Persian, means extremely beautiful, because gold flower is prettiness of the vegetables. So gulroch means beautiful, pretty one. And this pretty one, there are different way of connecting to this pretty one. One of the way of the connection, we say is speaking. Speaking doesn't mean a speaking. If two fellow, a special fellow, they will go in a special place, they sit down and they want to really converse, and deep that will say speaking. That's sohbat. Because it's not Persian, it's Arabic. From musahabat, right? Anyhow, he says, when you want to have that kind of communication, suddenly this good-looking, paradise-looking stuff will become the hell. Means what? Listen, he's talking about the beauty of non-existence, the ugliness of arrogance and selfishness, self-centeredness, right? Then he will come and explain. At the end of it, he will say, he will become